We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. Good morning. The Mishnah says, we're up to the fourth chapter, the 19th Mishnah. Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Shmuel, the small one, says, Pinfo lo yivcha al tismach. Quotes a pasuk. Pasuk initially says, when your enemy falls, don't be happy. Uvikosh lo al yagel libecha. And as he stumbles, don't let your heart rejoice. Penire Adonai v'rabeinav, lest Hashem see your happiness, and it is bad in Hashem's eyes. Ve'eshiv me'alav apo, and Hashem will rescind His anger from your enemy. So don't rejoice at the downfall of your enemy, because Hashem might see it and be displeased with that behavior. And then Hashem will take back His anger from your enemy. That's a hard pasuk. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Kilsat Asfarim. The version that's written in the text is Shmuel HaKatan Omer Binfolo Yivchal Tismach Uvikoshlo Al Yagel Libecha. Uma Ba Lashmienu Shmuel HaKatan Baze. What did Shmuel, the small one, come to tell us? It's a pasuk. Ba Lo Pasuk Shalemu. It's a whole verse. V'Shlomo Amaro. King Solomon said the verse. So why does the Mishnah tell me, Shmuel HaKatan says, Shlomo HaMelech says, it's one of the Pesukim, the Mishlei. El Ratzah Lomar, but what the Mishnah's telling us is, Shaya Ragil Shmuel Lomar Pasuk Ze. Shmuel was accustomed to quoting this Pasuk. Mimnei Shu Davar HaTzarich Uvnei Adam Nichshalim Bo. Because it is something that we need, and it is something that we stumble upon. The nature of man is that this is a stumbling block for us. Ki gam biyot oyev rasha, even when one's enemy is wicked, and nismach b'rato bilti mipnei Hashem levado, a person shouldn't be happy that his enemy fell, even if his enemy is wicked. Ritzoneinu lomar ki zeh tzadik lo yismach b'mapalat harasha'im, ach im kavanat simchato mipnei shemapalto kvod shamayim hu, lo mipnei sinato oto. A person has to work and attain the level that their happiness is not because of their own personal feelings. The pasuk is warning us. Could be your enemy really deserves to fall. Could be your enemy is really a sinful person. But why is it that a person really rejoices when their enemy falls? Because of their own personal revenge, because of their own personal emotion, their own personal hatred. What the Mishnah is warning us is that a person shouldn't allow those feelings to come up. It's very easy to say, of course he deserves to suffer. Look what a wicked person he is. The Mishnah says, where are your true feelings? Shmuel HaKatan always used to remind himself, I cannot rejoice at the downfall of my enemies because my rejoicing stems from my own feelings. Very often we deceive ourselves and we say, my feelings represent my devotion, my spirituality. I'm doing what's right, he's doing what's wrong. Not so simple. And this is an important rule. It's an important rule, unfortunately, even within observant people. You don't have to go so far as a wicked, evil, who knows, Haman. Unfortunately, people feel like part of the way that they can promote what they're doing right is by speaking badly about the other people they're confident are doing wrong. So if a person is very pro-learning Torah, they can sometimes deceive themselves and think it's okay to speak against people who are not pro-learning Torah. If a person is very pro-Yishuv Haaretz, settling the land of Israel, they can sometimes deceive themselves and think it's okay to speak against people who are not pro-Yishuv Haaretz. If a person is very pro-Vavtale Re'acha Kamocha, being nice to your fellow man and welcoming and being a Machon Meir that loves everyone and says everyone is welcome, a person can sometimes deceive themselves and speak badly against people who are not that way. In every realm of true growth and spirituality, there is the ability, there's the capacity to deceive ourselves and look down and feel even hatred towards those who are not where we are. And the Mishnah is warning us that that's not true. that those feelings stem from our personal emotions. They don't stem from our true connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Someone came to me and asked me, what should be our opinion about so-and-so who's caught doing such-and-such? And I said, why are we so worried about having an opinion about that? Why aren't we more worried about knowing a few more pages in Shas? There's so much more positive things to be worried about. I have to worry about what my opinion should be about that. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't find out what the true story is. I don't know what really happened there. And I'd rather invest my time in positive things. Why do I have to know what negative thing happened in the world and my opinions about it? Someone called me up and said, you're a rabbi. You have to know there's the story all around the media now of these parents that poisoned their child. Seems like there's some kind of psychological problem people can have that can bring on all kinds of weird behaviors. So I asked the person, how common is it? Is it 1 in 1 million, 1 in 5 million, 1 in 10 million? Because it's the first time you heard of it, and it's the first time I heard of it. So it's very rare. I'm not sure. I have to invest my time to learn that. I don't think I have to worry that someone I know is going to run into that problem. I do think I have to worry about positive things. And again, the Mishnah is warning us. Shmuel HaKatan would repeatedly remind himself, don't be happy at your enemy's downfall. Recognize that if you're happy, it's not because you're so holy. It's because you have your own personal vendetta. Now, Shmuel HaKatan lived in a period in Jewish history where Judaism was severely threatened by the early Christians. And that's why he was asked to compose the blessing of Elam al Shinim, because Shmuel HaKatan was so careful, he kept reminding himself, beware of your own personal partiality. Even though you think it's pure and true, no. Anytime there's a negative emotion, it's not because I'm representing Hashem in this. It's really my own emotion. Benny, you wanted something?
I was just saying, isn't that just talking about Jews, though? Because there is a troubling Gemara in the second Megillah where...
Right. It's a good question. When we'll learn the Gemara and Megillah, we'll have to deal with it. V'chol sheken mi shemaasav mekulkalin kamoh v'im yagel libo v'ikashlo ra'ato rabba v'lam u'samech v'ineu kamoh. And certainly, what happens sometimes is that people are complete hypocrites. They're just as bad as the next guy, but they're happy to look down at his downfall and say, oh, what a wicked fellow he is. And what are you? Ve'al kol ze ne'emar b'nfolo yivchal tismach u'vikoshlo al yagel libecha. But all of this, the verse says that. We shouldn't spend our time rejoicing at others' downfall. Ve'lazeh haya mitkaven Shmuel le'omro tadir. That's why Shmuel used to say it often. Ve'yesh egosin penireh Hashem v'ra b'enav me'eshim ma'alav apo. Some people have a continuation in their Mishnah, that the continuation of the Mishnah says, lest Hashem sees, and it's bad in Hashem's eyes, and Hashem rescinds his anger, his wrath from that person. Charon apo lo ne'emar, ela me'alav apo, me'elamed shemochalin lo al kol avonotav. And then Shmuel HaKatan adds that it says Hashem will remove from him his anger. That's telling you that Hashem will stop. It doesn't say charon apo, which means anger. Apo could also means Hashem's focus, which is a way of saying that if someone's happy at their enemy's downfall, Hashem says, I'll forgive the enemy for everything they did wrong. So this is, according to that version of the Mishnah, when a person rejoices at someone else's downfall, what happens is Hashem says, oh, someone else is happy that he's suffering, forget it. I'm not going to bother looking at what he does wrong anymore. And if you have that at the end of the Mishnah, then the Mishnah is teaching you a very big chidush. That if Hashem sees that a person's happy, so Hashem will forgive him and let him get back to his post. And that's the punishment over rejoicing at someone else's downfall. So whichever version you have, nonetheless, the Mishnah is telling us a very, very important point. Sometimes, again, we're tempted to think that our rejoicing at someone else's downfall is because we're so pious and he's so wicked. And the Mishnah says Shmuel HaKatan would repeatedly remind himself, we're not so holy. If we're rejoicing, then the real reason is because we have our own personal vendetta. We personally want to see the person down, and it's not because we're so holy. So even Shmuel HaKatan, the Tana, would remind himself this pasuk, don't rejoice. Don't rejoice when someone else falls. And I'll get to you in a second, Benny. I would add one more point here. There's a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says that I think it was Rabbi Yossi Bar Tachlafta, but I'm not sure. One of the Tanaim used to have Eliyahu Hanavi visit him often. And one time a battalion came and surrounded their town and said, we're going to kill all of you if you don't give us so-and-so who deserves the death penalty by the king. And so they verified, and so-and-so was in their midst. And that bandit really deserved the death penalty. So they took this Jew, and they gave him over to the Romans. So the rabbi himself not only ruled it, he himself did it. He went and took the bandit in his own hands and gave him over to the authorities. And with that, he saved the whole town. And from that point onward, Eliyahu stopped coming to him. And then at one point, he prayed and he fasted, and Eliyahu shows up from around the corner. He can't look Eliyahu in the eye anymore. And he asks Eliyahu, what happened? Why'd you stop coming? And Eliyahu says, you gave over a Jew to the Romans to be killed. So the rabbi says, but that's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Trumos. Yeah. The Mishnah says that if a group of men that surrounded a Jewish caravan or a Jewish city, and they say, we're going to kill all of you if you don't give us the person we're looking for, so then this person even deserved the death penalty. He did do illegal things which were deserving to the death penalty. So I gave him over and I saved the town. Well, isn't that what the halacha says? So Eliyahu Hanavi answered him. He said, "Lav mishnat chasidim hu." He said, "Yeah, there is such a halacha, but it doesn't say it's a halacha for pious people to do it. You didn't have to be the one to give a Jew over into the Roman hands to be killed. Technically, you're right. That's the halacha. You didn't have to be the one to actually give him over to die. Who says you have to run around and try to do that?" So that medrash taught me something very important. There are things which are not Mishnat Chasidim. Let someone else do that mitzvah. You don't have to be the one to do that mitzvah. So this is, when we come to this story here, that's the point I was trying to make in the beginning of the class, that sometimes even if a person feels like what he's saying or doing is right, you have to ask yourself, why is this the mitzvah I'm busy with? Why? Why is this what interests me? Meaning, someone once came and asked me of a new... even if you're right.
Yeah.
But there are so many other mitzvahs. A guy came over to me and asked me, he wants to invest a lot of money in a certain chumrah. There's a certain stringency that he came up with, and he thought it's a good idea to invest money in that. So I said, that's a very nice... I don't remember if it was something in Hilchos Mezuzah. He wanted to change all his mezuzos because he figured out that he should be more stringent on this point and get better mezuzos. So I said, you know, it's a nice idea. I think it's a bad idea. So he asked me what I thought. We were chavrusas. So,
to give money?
What?
To give money to fix his mezuzot.
It's not to fix. He wanted to buy brand new mezuzot and exchange all his mezuzot because he came up with this idea that this chumrah is very important. So he asked me, why do you think it's a bad idea? I said, there are a lot of hungry people out there. New mezuzot, let's say you'll buy 10 new mezuzot, each new mezuzah will cost you 300 shekel, that's 3,000 shekel. I don't know, I don't think you're going to give 3,000 shekel to feed the poor. So most, what you have now is kosher. So yeah. Now you're going to spend 3,000 shekel on something you just figured out that you think is a good idea instead of giving it to the poor. You give it to the poor, you for sure did a mitzvah. You did your chumrah, who said you even benefited anything? I'm not convinced that it's a good idea. But even if you're right, here you're for sure benefiting and here not. Again, the question is, what am I looking for? So Shmuel HaKatan used to repeatedly remind himself, don't look to be happy when your enemy falls. Don't try to be happy when you see even evil people falling. That shouldn't be where my focus is, to rejoice at their downfall. Let me know how to rejoice at my friend's wedding. Let me know how to make someone happy when they're happy occasions. Let me focus on being good about the positive. You know, the joke, why do we have two psukim in Megillas Esther and the tune of Eicha? I'm allowed to say this joke because I'm a Yeki. So they say, why do they have two psukim in the tune of Eicha and Megillas Esther? Because they want to make the Yekis happy too. So they gave him two psukim with a sad tune, so now the Yekis could be happy. So then why don't we do the whole Megillah in the tune of Eicha? Because then the Yekis might go wild. might be too much, right? That's already wild. So there are people who are happy when they hear a sad verse. That shouldn't be who we are. And that's what Shmuel HaKatan says. Don't deceive yourself. Don't tell yourself, I'm really happy because I'm a pious person and he deserves it and God's paying him back. We're not there. And B, Shmuel HaKatan says, what halacha am I looking to keep? Which mitzvah is what interests me?